from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hi, y'all, and welcome to Batter Up. It's the new 92.9 Braves podcast, and I am your Braves insider, Joe Patrick, and I'm here joined by Knox Bardeen. The digital, what are you, digital manager? Is that your title?
My exact title, digital program director.
That sounds fancy.
That's what it says on my business cards that I've given away negative one of out of the pack I got a year ago.
Well, it's taken us long enough to get this thing started, but I'm glad we've finally found the time to get in the makeshift studio here and put something together for you guys. I've been covering the Braves all season. Knox, obviously, has been paying close attention to the Braves as well. And hopefully we can get something out to you guys weekly-ish.
We tried. We have tried for, three weeks now?
Yeah.
And between Joe's schedule, because Joe does a lot of things.
I do.
He's the Braves insider here. He also is very tied into Atlanta United.
I'm the managing editor of Dirty South Soccer. If you follow Atlanta United, you're probably familiar with Dirty South Soccer.
So between that and here and my busy schedule here running everything digital for 92.9 The Game, we had grand dreams of we'd start weekly with this podcast, Batter Up, and then probably a couple other times a week we'd do supplemental episodes. You know, hey, if I have 10 minutes of something to talk about, I'm just going to turn on the mic and do it. And Joe's going to do the same thing. And we've really found it difficult just to be in the same room.
I know, seriously.
Much less, you know, going into one of the production booths and giving you a call and doing it that way.
Yeah, we're just trying to put together some content any way we can with whatever time we have available. I've been doing some video shots of after, you know, as I'm leaving the ballpark at night. So
yes.
Hopefully you guys have been seeing some of those on 92.9 in the Game's Twitter account. So stay tuned to that. We'll have more of those coming up. But glad to finally get the podcast underway.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting duo here because you're somewhat entrenched with the team. You're there for all the home games. You're in the clubhouse pre and post. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to bring a very interesting point of view. Whereas I'm a numbers guy.
Yeah.
I'm a geeky stats guy. You know, I'm a youth baseball coach for my kids, and I'm going to try never to bring that into the podcast. but I look at things very analytically. And as you can see, we put the show together and decided what we're going to talk about. I wonder what we're going to talk about. New rookie coming up, some great pitching.
I don't know.
But I take a very different look than you do. So I think that's what's going to make this podcast interesting as we bounce what you've seen and what I pick apart through numbers.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners here are familiar with my work at Dirty South Soccer, you'll probably know that I'm very much interested in kind of profiling the players and the personality of the team and the individuals that comprise it. I'm very interested in that kind of... In that aspect of the game, not just baseball, but sports in general. So, hopefully we can give you guys a rounded out view of what this team is and what we see of them going forward. So,
and what a great day to be a storyteller after yesterday at SunTrust Park.
It was amazing. It was amazing. If anybody is not caught up at this point, Austin Riley came in and homered on his major league debut, and it was a sight to behold. He struck out his first at bat, so it wasn't quite a Jason Hayward moment.
Right.
Everybody was kind of expecting, even when we talked to Brian Snicker after the game, he said I was half expecting him to hit a homer just because I've seen Jason Hayward do it. It just felt like one of those moments that was going to happen, and we're kind of lucky that it did come to fruition.
And that was kind of a full circle moment for Snicker I was reading in The Athletic, Dave O'Brien put it out this morning, must have sat down and talked to him. He was in the dugout when Hayward hit his, and walked up to Bobby Cox, and Bobby Cox told Snit, we knew this was going to happen, right? We knew he was going to do that. So I think everyone hoped that Austin Riley was going to hit that home run, and with his torrid pace, he was hitting home runs down in Gwinnett. It was great to see him adjust. He said he didn't get a lot of fastballs in that first at-bat, and then came up and thought that the pitcher would challenge him, and the pitcher challenged him, and you saw what this kid can do with a fastball.
Yeah, and he talked about some of those adjustments that he made, too. You know, he didn't actually have a super great start to the season this year. I think for the first couple weeks, it was pretty ho-hum, not a lot of home runs, and then the power started coming. I think he was he talked about the adjustments. I think he was just trying to do a little too much. They talked about getting his bat plane just kind of flattened out,
right,
and a little more direct to the ball when it comes in. And yeah, it's paying such dividends. And this guy is going to be so marketable. Like if they thought Dansby Swanson was a marketable type of player, I mean, this guy. You know, he had 40 family members in town last night. He's from Mississippi. You know, he grew up a Braves fan, as far as I know. He's so happy to be playing for this team, and he just has that kind of the Southern drawl. He's got that look about him.
I called him last night. He was all shucks Mississippi
for sure
to the bone. And what a lot of people listening might not realize is, you know, we get to the ballpark, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we kind of sit up in the press box and. We saw him walk out onto the field and hang around at shortstop for a little while, and he was looking out in the left field, and he just kind of walking around getting his bearings. And then what happens is, you know, you call a kid up from AAA. They were in Buffalo when he got the call. And then they said, oh, by the way, there's 30 or some odd reporters over there. You're going to go sit in the dugout, and they're going to surround you and stick mics in your face and go talk to them. And not every 22-year-old handles that well.
Yeah.
But, boy, was he clear, concise, told some funny stories, made some jokes, very comfortable in that aspect of his what's going to be his job for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, if you think about it, think about the 15 hours. What a difference 15 hours made in his life yesterday. I mean, he told the story, he got the call, he was kind of just hanging out, BSing with Bryce Wilson and Colby Allard in a hotel bedroom. And 15 hours later, yeah, he's sitting in the Atlanta Braves dugout in front of 30 press members, you know, kind of trying to encapsulate what his career has been and what he's looking for going forward.
Yeah, and to the storytelling aspect, he didn't even get the phone call on his own phone. Either he didn't answer it or missed it. So, you know, they had to call Colby Allard's phone and said, hand the phone to Austin real quick. I just can't imagine what that feels like to have that moment and then instantly pick up the phone and call your dad.
Yeah.
Hang up the phone and call your wife. And I had a funny thought about that. Is that how I would have done it? Would I have called dad first and then wife?
Right.
And I think I would have. And I even asked my wife last night. He's like, would you have been upset? She's like, no, I think that's expected. So
I think for a lot of young kids, you know, young boys playing baseball, you know, they grew up. Some of their first memories are throwing the ball with their dad, and you know, in the yard or at the park or whatever. And so I think that there's like a special bond I feel between a lot of baseball players and their fathers, which was evident. But I thought it was funny in the clubhouse after the game. I heard Mark Bowman kind of going around trying to get some clues on what his nickname was going to be from some of the players. And there isn't really anything yet. I think I heard a Gronk Jr. thrown out there because he's kind of has that big look, but I don't think it's going
like
to stick.
That, yeah.
Luke Jackson said, just give the bullpen some time. You know, give the bullpen some time. We sit around with nothing to do for long enough every day. We'll think of something soon.
Well, and this is day one on the job. And I just said to you as we were talking before we turned the record button on, what did you do on your first day of work? Well, I didn't hit a home run in front of however many thousands of fans that were there and millions watching. But so it was a fantastic first day. But it was only day one, and they will have to figure out a nickname for him. But what's really kind of interesting is you take a look at all the former teammates that he played with coming up. I mean, on that Rome team, he was there with Acuna. He was there with Allard. You know,
he was there with last night's starter, Mike Soroka.
Tuki Toussaint, who came up kind of with him.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of guys in that clubhouse, not only below the age of 25, but a lot of guys that have been playing together for many years. So this isn't a situation where he's coming up and he's a little kid among a bunch of men. These guys have worked their way up through the minor league system.
Yeah, and I think it really creates for a tight-knit group in the clubhouse. I think that'll pay benefits well down the road from where we are now. But I do want to kind of go into Austin Riley and how it does affect the Braves now. Because okay. I think that, you know, what we've seen with Brian Snicker these last, you know, over the last week is he's changed the lineup. He's moved Acuna back to leadoff. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the hesitations that he may have had in making that change is that he doesn't have that big bopper to then replace Acuna's spot batting cleanup. He's done that so far with Josh Donaldson, moving him from this two-hole to batting cleanup. But I think Josh Donaldson, you know, we all kind of know that he would like to bat second going long-term. So can Austin Riley be that big bat that they were looking for? I think that, you know, what we've seen from him, obviously, in Gwinnett proves that he is that big-time power hitter. And if he can prove to be that over the next, you know, however long he's with the Braves, hopefully he stays even after Ender is able to return. It can really lengthen the lineup.
I hear what you're saying. I hope it doesn't happen anytime soon, and here's why. You can't just call a 22-year-old kid up from Gwinnett and say, enjoy this six-hole for a few games. We're about to move you into the cleanup spot. It's just not fair to him. He might be statistically ready to do this. I mean, everything we've seen in the month of May, the 10 home runs in 13 May games. I think he had 13 extra base hits in out of 18. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's absolutely mashing the ball, and you saw that. That home run in Charlotte a few weeks ago that went, 498 feet? The one he hit last night with a massive exit velocity. He absolutely kills the ball. But taking a 22-year-old kid with fewer than 100 at-bats and telling him he has to bat cleanup for a team that's going to contend for the postseason, it's completely unfair to him. So I'm sure that the Braves... I'm guessing that the Braves don't want to move him into the cleanup spot until he's absolutely ready. That might not happen until next year.
Yeah.
So I think Acuna is at one to stay. I mean, that's obviously going, where he wants to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's obviously where he's going to flourish. And you look at his splits from last year, and it's absolutely where he does flourish. What the Braves are going to do with that big bopper. Austin Riley absolutely can be the big bopper. I think there's probably going to be some 22-year-old rookie ups and downs. So that's why I think it's unfair to put him there. It's going to have to be Josh Donaldson that carries that load there.
I think that, and by the way, when I'm talking about this, I'm talking more longer term than it probably sounded. I'm talking about, could he be batting cleanup, you know, by the time the playoffs come around? So not in the next few weeks. I think obviously over the next
long-term,
month, 2 months.
Well, long-term, absolutely. What did Chipper say on the TV broadcast? Actually, you were in the press box last night. You didn't hear the TV broadcast.
Yeah.
And Chipper was saying, hey, this is a 40-home run kid.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, yeah, he's the four-hole hitter.
Right.
But not in June.
Yeah. I think it is interesting the way that Brian Snicker, the job he has on his hands, kind of manage this. Because what we've gathered is that Josh Donaldson was, I don't know if I want to say promised to bat second, but more or less had an understanding that he would probably be batting second for the Braves. You know, and I think that was kind of played into the negotiation of signing him. And it'll just be interesting to see how he fares in the four hole. It's interesting, if you look at his splits, he's no worse in the four hole than batting second, really. He's just has a personal comfort, I guess, in batting second. So that's why he prefers it. But I think, you know, when you look at it from an analytical point of view, there's really no downside in him batting fourth versus second.
You know, it's just personal preference. And if you can manage that as Snicker will, then yeah, 2-4, I don't think it matters much. Since we're talking Austin Riley's arrival and Josh Donaldson, what does that do defensively? Because we know Josh Donaldson's not going to play 150-plus games. He's probably not even going to play 140-plus games. So when he's not playing third base, I think that's Austin Riley's
for
job
sure
at that point.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And again, Austin Riley now, his presence on the club is going to have an impact on Johan Camargo. Because Johan Camargo before was supposed to be the guy who was going to play in corner outfield, was going to fill in third base when Josh Donaldson couldn't play. So what happens to Johan Camargo? He's not been great this year. And you know, time will tell who's going to be the better player for the Braves this year as a left fielder, third baseman type of player between Riley and Johan. But it's an interesting dilemma, again, that a Brian Snicker has on his hands, kind of, you know, how is he going to manage all of this?
While I agree with every move the Braves have made in this particular conversation, what has Johan Camargo got to be thinking? I mean, first off, he does what he did in 2018, and then his role is relegated this year. He's not performing as well, probably because he's not getting the normal reps.
Right.
And now here's this young kid from Gwinnett that they just promoted, obviously, to leapfrog him, and he's, you know, got to be thinking, what more can I do for this team? And it's a fair question, but it's also kind of fair exactly what the Braves did. You can't keep Austin Riley. Actually, let me back up months. I would bet money that the Braves didn't want to promote Austin Riley this year. They paid $23 million for Josh Donaldson to come in and play third base and be that stopgap. This was going to be a stopgap year. He's there. Austin Riley is going to season at AAA, and then they'd bring him up in 2020. Well, the kid's just hitting the ball like it's coming in pitched underhand to him, and it's the size of a grapefruit. So he forced his way into the lineup.
Yeah.
And when you're a guy like Johan Camargo or even Josh Donaldson in this situation, you have to realize that when people force their way into promotion, when they force their way onto the big league club, it's just things that happen.
Yeah, and there's going to be dominoes that fall that are ramifications of this down the line. I think that possibly what we might see is that Johan Camargo becomes a trade chip for the Braves if and when they will need to add a reliever at some point. I think a team would be interested in adding someone like Camargo, although the Braves would probably want to try to keep him as well. But he's possible trade chip if he's not getting regular playing time. Same with a guy like Ender Inciarte. In fact, I bet the Braves would like to try to move Ender Inciarte, but his value as a trade piece isn't super high when you consider what contending teams will need and the salary that he's on. They're going to have to try to find the right fit, and whether they can get in return what they want from that right fit remains to be seen.
Yeah, the Gold Glove center fielder is a plus.
That helps.
You like that, but unfortunately you just can't bring him any higher than seventh in the batting order
right.
anymore. So you can't offer him up to a team that needs an early in the order kind of guy that can also bring three Gold Gloves to the ballpark. So if you find a contender that is in dire need of some defensive help, then yeah, there's your trade piece. But that's not going to happen anytime soon. I mean, that kind of move isn't going to happen in May, June.
Right.
We're probably talking June before Inciarte starts coming back. But it's an interesting thing to watch what the Braves do with him, because I kind of think that, especially with the way he emerged onto the scene last night, when Austin Riley came to Atlanta, he's come to Atlanta for, I mean, they're not just thinking 10 days and we're going to ship him back. This is more than just a tryout on the job for him.
Yeah. So that's something that we'll continue to follow, in the coming weeks, months, the status of all that. But we should get back to one of the main stories for the Braves in recent weeks, and especially last night, which is Mike Soroka. The guy has made 5 or 6 starts this year. I can't remember off the top of my head. 6 starts. He has a sub-1 ERA. And nobody can hit a fly ball against the guy.
Well, that's what a sinker ball guy does, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's exact. But he's been so fantastic with that sinker ball. And apologies to Austin Riley. You just got promoted. You came up, you hit a home run in your first game. But I truly believe what we saw to Mike Soroka last night hammers into my brain that this is the emerging star from last night's game. Yeah, Austin Riley, I hope Chipper's right. I hope the kid hits 40 home runs in the future and is a mainstay there for 7 years. But this guy, Mike Soroka, is going to be the ace of this staff.
Yeah, I saw someone on Twitter last night say that he walked a couple guys last night just to see how it feels to put runners on base.
And what's interesting about that is, we were laughing a few minutes ago about Austin Riley's aw shucks Mississippi attitude. Well, on the mound, Mike Soroka kind of has that. I don't care. Nothing bothers him. He is so calm, cool, collected. He not only did he walk a couple guys, walk 3 guys last night, but he got himself into situations where he's pitching into the middle of that batting order, and he's like, okay, I'm just going to strike you out. I don't care how great of a hitter you are. It's Goldschmidt over there. I'm going to strike you out when I get runners on base.
Yeah, it's amazing talking to Soroka and Max Fried. They're both very similar in that they're very logical. They think about things. They simplify the way they think about the game. With Soroka, it's very mechanical. He thinks about his mechanics, and if his pitches aren't working the way they should, which clearly they are this year, but if they're not, he will just think about it very clearly and granularly, and not getting wrapped up in all of the other circumstance that happens with pitchers in baseball when you aren't pitching at the top of your game. And same with Max Fried. Max is very much the same way. He's more simplified in his overall game plan of a game. If a pitch isn't working, no need to force it. Let's go with what works. Be confident with the pitching. But both these guys are similar in the way that they talk about the game, and it's really comforting. And obviously, it's easier to talk about your pitching performances when you're pitching as well as those two are, as opposed to some of the other guys on the staff who seem a little more flustered after games when we speak to them. But it's really great to see. It's really refreshing.
Yeah, and you mentioned the 6 starts from Soroka, 1 earned run or fewer in all 6 of the starts this year. I mean, a sub-1 ERA, that is absolutely incredible for a 21-year-old. He's younger than Austin Riley.
Yeah.
So he's absolutely pitching lights out. And since I'm the geeky stats guy, I'll throw a couple at you here. Not only is he the earned run thing, one run or fewer in all of his six starts, but he's the only pitcher 21 years of age or younger since 1920. He and Fernando Valenzuela are the only ones who have done that.
Wow.
It's crazy the kind of what's the word I'm looking for here? The company he keeps. Mm-hmm. I mean, Fernando Valenzuela, yeah, that was one of the best rookie seasons ever.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at through six starts with Mike Soroka.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I've done plenty of interviews at the radio station here early in the season, and we talked about, you know, this first month being the evaluation period and the Braves not really fully knowing what they have in certain areas of the club. And I think that, you know, when we look at the pitching rotation, I think it's quite obvious now that, like, first of all, you know what you have in Soroka and Fried, but you didn't really know going into the season. And going into the season, Fried was in the bullpen.
Right.
You know, Soroka was injured.
We didn't expect
We didn't know
yet.
What these guys were. And I think we had more concerns about the rotation then. Now we're worried about Foltynewicz and, you know, what the Braves are doing with Tehran. But I think with Fried and Soroka, you've got two guys that are like 1A, 1B almost in terms of being top of the rotation.
Yeah,
guys.
You and I were bouncing that back and forth as we were planning this podcast, and Austin Riley's promotion kind of threw that plan out the window as we had to adjust. But you made the statement. Well, obviously it's Max Fried who is one and Soroka is two when it comes to how well these guys in the rotation are doing. And then after last night, I firmly believe they flip-flop. And not anything bad for what Max Fried has done, but Mike Soroka's, first off, his record, his earned run average. You talk about hitters being unable to even touch what he's throwing. Those sinker balls are incredible. And, you know, another geeky stat here, you know, of all the pitchers in baseball with 100 batted balls this year, he ranks third in average exit velocity, only 84.5 miles an hour. And you take a look at some of the names on that list. Kenta Maeda, Lucchesi in San Diego is the only one that's kind of weird on the list. You got Soroka 3, Charlie Morton 4, and then my pick for NL, you know, Cy Young right now is Castillo, Luis Castillo over in Cincinnati.
Yep.
So all those names are talking about, nobody is touching them hard. Mm-hmm. Nobody is hitting the ball because that, you know, sink slider combo that Soroka's throwing up there is just baffling hitters right now. And then you throw in that four-seamer a little bit, you throw in the changeup, and the changeup's been a great outpitch for him too. And nobody's hitting the ball hard. Three barrels, and that's a new stat from StatCast Major League Baseball where a barrel is anything that comes off the bat at 95 mile an hour
threshold
or higher
speed.
And 30 degree launch angle.
Okay.
So those balls should, you know, be gappers. They should rattle the wall or go over the wall. And he's only allowed three of those all year long.
Yeah.
It's incredible how hard he is to hit right now.
Yeah. And hopefully he can keep it going. I think sometimes we can get lured into these traps when pitchers kind of, you know, he's still kind of fresh on the scene. And, you know, once batters have some time to figure out a game plan that they typically go into games with, things can change. But yeah, I mean, right now he looks like one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, and I didn't want to get nitpicky or anything like that, but I could go at a couple of those things. I wish that he would strike out more batters. I wish more hitters would swing it, miss it more in his pitches outside of that sink split combo.
Yeah.
So there's some things. I do not think that we're going to see a 7 to 10 year career out of Mike Soroka where he has a sub one ERA. I do not think that's going to work. But all in all, I'm very excited to see what this kid's bringing to the mound every day.
Yeah, it was funny last night when I was leaving. I was looking at the post match or the post game report that the team communication staff puts out, and I was looking at his line. I didn't realize it. Only three strikeouts for him last night, which was weird considering how dominant he looked and in the game. So yeah, can't wait to see more of Mike Soroka. He's one of those guys. He and Fried both. When I'm walking into the stadium before a game, you're just kind of excited. You're excited to see to find out what you're going to see that day from those guys. It really makes the Braves, I think, you know, when those guys come through in the rotation, it's must watch if you're a Braves fan.
Absolutely. Speaking of Braves fans, I want to quiz you.
Okay.
Before you send us home, because I think we're getting ready to wrap this up. But Baseball Reference just threw out a tweet of the 11 Braves players that have hit a homer in their major league debut. How many of them can you name?
Okay. Hayward.
Yep.
Schaefer, who we talked about. Hell, I don't know.
It's obviously Austin Riley. I didn't remember Evan Gattis. forgot about that.
Gattis. Okay, interesting.
Frenchie.
Okay.
I was there for Frenchie's,
of course,
too. Frenchie's was an eighth inning shot, I think.
Yep.
Marty Malloy, Jermaine Dye, Bob Horner. Remember that 80s Fleer card with the big snake around his neck? Chuck Tanner, Sam Jethro, Joe Max. Those were the 11. Eight of those have been with the Atlanta Braves, the other three with, Milwaukee or even Boston. So, congratulations to Austin Riley for hitting a home run on his first day at work.
Yeah. Hopefully there are many more to come. 40 more, according to Chipper.
Maybe not this year.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back hopefully next week. We will try to get these out at least once a week. Cannot tell you what day they will be coming out.
We will get better. We will finalize the day soon.
We are running around doing our best, but yeah, we will try to, once we get this thing going, we'll be on a regular schedule.
Best place to figure stuff out, go to @929thegame on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm @KnoxBardeen.
I'm @JAPatrick200. It's a terrible Twitter handle.
I'm trying
to negotiate with Twitter to let me have. There's a Twitter handle out there called @JoePatrick.
Yep.
And they tweeted once in 2008,
oh, wow.
May 5th, 2008, that says "Follow Joe Patrick," and that's the only tweet they've ever put
out. Those are problems that a guy like Knox Barney. I don't have those problems.
I know.
Everything I ever want to do with an account name, I get it. So Joe Patrick, you're gonna have to fight for some of those.
When you have two first names, and then you're trying to go, you have account questions that you're going to Twitter for. You know, they're probably skeptical right off the bat. But anyway, that's going to do it for the show. So catch us next week and follow us. Follow the podcast wherever you get podcasts, and we'll be there.
Radio.com, Stitcher, iTunes, it'll all be there.
Yep, and it'll be on the website as well, 929thegame.com. For that, Joe Patrick, Knox Bardeen, we will see you guys next week.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.